If you watched the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight, then you know something was a bit off. Today, I'll explain several conspiracy theories surrounding this event that support an apocalyptic prediction of how our entire world is going to change on December 4th. We'll talk about symbolism of Harper crates, Crowley's New Age, the humiliation ritual of the death and rebirth of Mike Tyson, the secret message of the walkout music, the common theme of sexual assaulting, and Cliff High's 2009 prediction that takes us into the final age of mankind through the UFO disclosure. My name is Isaac Weishaupt. You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture Podcast. Now, this is a strange topic, and today's recording is a strange recording. It's early, early in the morning. And if you're watching the video version, if you're a tier two supporter, if you didn't hear my Oops All Housekeeping show last week, go listen to that. If you're a tier two video watcher, you'll notice I've got a bandage on my nose and my face looks crazy. I had a weird laser treatment done on my nose and it left a bunch of weird marks, and that's fine. We're just gonna ignore it. All right, let's just move past it. Today, because I'm really excited to talk to you guys, all right? I recorded an episode of Breaking Social Norms with my beautiful wife, Josie. She's getting her beauty sleep right now. That's why I'm talking all sultry tonight, to this morning, excuse me. We talked about this whole thing, but we didn't go deep into the conspiracy angle, which that's what I'm doing here with you guys, all right? So, Mike Tyson allegedly earned $20 million from this event. Jake Paul earned $45 million. And I don't want to gloss over that fact. We hear these numbers all the time. Big numbers from big name celebrities. It's just assumed, right? You're like, oh, they're famous, they're rich. But I want you to think about that as we go over the entire show today, about what normal people like you and I would do for that amount of money. All right. And then think, could this have been a ritual played out to accommodate a higher purpose? Because that's what I'm going to argue today. And one great example, you always have to look at the symbolism. If you look at the promotional posters, Jake Paul is doing the vow of silence. He has his finger over his lips. And this is called the Vow of Harpocrates, right? Because Harpocrates is the god of silence, which is the sign of the New Age of Horus. They call it the Aeon of Horus, because the Greek god Harpocrates comes from the Egyptian sky god Horus in terms of mythology. Now, all of this is going to make sense when you understand Aleister Crowley's fantasies of a new world being for the crowned and conquering child, which is Jake Paul. Okay. Now the Discordians, they think that Harpocrates is actually a trickster god, which makes a lot of sense because that's Jake Paul's whole MO, right? He got famous doing pranks. He's the trickster. And if you look at Aleister Crowley's tarot, his tarot card is called the Thoth deck. He has a card for the Aeon that represents a significant phase in a person's life as a time of transformation, and it represents the rebirth into the Aeon of Horus that will integrate masculine and feminine properties of two previous ages, the Aeon of Isis and the Aeon of Osiris. Now, this card represents cycles, beginnings, and endings, a recurring theme we'll discuss today. The card represents the Hebrew letter of Sheen, which means tooth or teeth. I guess depending on how good your dental is. Tooth. But it's the symbolism of breaking things down, like how you grind food down with your teeth. And we'll discuss elements later of Kenneth Grant in his works from Outside the Circles of Time, which is all about opening up portals and bringing about the aliens. And they say we're living in the atomic age because the Trinity test, where we first split the atom, marked a massive change in the evolution of consciousness for mankind. And that's what the aliens we'll be doing. We'll come back to all this later in the conclusion. Let's talk about humiliation rituals. There's theories online about contracts for this fight, claiming that Mike Tyson contractually was not allowed to uppercut. He was not allowed to knock out Jake Paul. Now, I don't know if that's true. If it's true, then clearly this is humiliation ritual, because why in hell would Mike Tyson do that, right? And when we talk about humiliation ritual, we've seen this in the past from celebrities like the infamous Kanye West, Taylor Swift, Mike Steele moment, the Chris Rock, Will Smith slap, the celebrities wearing dresses, men wearing dresses, or various sex tapes, nudes being leaked, like through the Fappening. We saw it recently with RFK Jr. eating McDonald's on the airplane with Trump and company. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look at the photo. You have to see the look on RFK's face. He looks horrified. And that was my concern the whole time with RFK. I liked a lot of what he was saying. I'm not going to make this political. Let's move on. Is there any scientific basis to a humiliation ritual? Yes, there is. Let me explain. Because a lot of conspiracy people, we talk about the humiliation ritual, and I wanted to back that up. So I went looking, and there's a 1997 article from the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology called Patterns in the Bizarre, Common Themes in Satanic Ritual Abuse, Sexual Masochism, UFO Abductions, Facetious Illness, and Extreme Love. And it says that people participate in humiliation to transcend and transform their identities. One loses their self-esteem in the old identity so it can be gained in the context of a new one. How does that fit? Well, you always hear these celebrities talk about embracing and channeling various alter egos. Nicki Minaj did it many times. Beyonce talked about Sasha Fierce. The list goes on and on and on. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can check out my second book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. And for Mike Tyson, if you look into his past, it was said, literally, he was summoned by his mentor, his trainer, Cuz D'Amato. Mike even, in fact, does have an alter ego that was marketed for this event, Iron Mike. It was said over and over, if Iron Mike shows up, the beast will come out. And if you go to a March 2020 interview on Hot Boxing podcast, Mike Tyson said, I'm working on being the art of humbleness. That's the reason I'm crying, because I'm not that person no more, and I miss him. And it's not funny at all. It's not cool. Like, I'm a tough guy. It's just that I hate that guy. I'm scared of him. They're talking about channeling a entity outside of themselves, being possessed by a demon. Aleister Crowley talked about being in contact with his holy guardian angel, which is the ultimate goal for Thelema and ritual magic. His was Awas, later identified as Lucifer. Okay. If you go to a sporting news article, it says, Tyson, who has battled his own demons post-career, recently talked about the demon that resides inside him. He said he was dead, but was always cautious to bring him back in any form. Now he may be on the verge of being let loose. So it could be argued that what we experienced was a humiliation ritual to kill off the demon inside of Mike Tyson, Iron Mike. And when we saw Tyson biting on his glove during the event, you could argue that was him battling the demon to try to kill him off. In fact, Mike Tyson was supposed to fight Jake Paul in the summer of 2024. And after the fight was complete, he tweeted that he revealed that he almost died from complications of a stomach ulcer and needing multiple blood transfusions. And when you look into the concept of rituals and initiations, you'll find a lot of times in Freemasonry and a lot of these occult practices, they require the initiate to face death, part of a death and rebirth process. And again, a common theme for this episode is cycles, beginning and completion. And we knew Mike Tyson was in trouble when he first showed up to walk down walking down the aisle, I guess, and he tripped. And I said, "Uh-oh." Earlier, he literally showed his ass, right? It was a humiliation ritual. In fact, when they came out, the music was very interesting because I saw on social media many of the younger people really dig the Phil Collins song In the Air Tonight. And a lot of people were saying Tyson needs to come out to that. It's intense. And strangely enough, Jake Paul was the one who came out to that song. Mike Tyson came out to a song I had to look up because I had never heard it. It was a song called Murdergram, and it's on the Streets Is Watching soundtrack. This is from the mid-90s. And it was Jay-Z, Ja Rule, and DMX, a super group with a very brief time before DMX and Jay-Z got into it. It was a supergroup called Murder, Inc. And this track that called Murdergram that Tyson walked out to was actually a battle track of the three going at each other, a simulated beef. Obviously not real if they're in the same group with the same interest of selling records. I think that was a metaphor for what we witnessed. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul with a mutual interest over a manufactured beef to sell tickets. Which, I get it. There wasn't a pay-per-view here. But it was, we live in an attention economy. This was to sell your attention. Now, and I should note that there's a strange connection here because Murder, Inc. was a record label started by Irv Gotti. And Irv Gotti was hanging out with these guys. They assembled the group, and then they broke up, and then Irv Gotti started the record label Murder, Inc. Now, Irv Gotti was hanging out with Jay-Z and Jay-Z's mentor and supposed lyrical coach named Jazz O. Some people claim that Jay-Z stole Jazz O's entire persona and everything. I believe Jaguar Wright was claiming this. Jazz O was a member, or is a member, or allegedly is a member, of the Nuwabian Nation. That is an esoteric UFO cult started by a man named Malachi York. Malachi York would be convicted of child molestation and racketing, the largest prosecution for molestation ever against one person in terms of the number of incidents and victims. More than 100. Some as young as 4 years old. Malachi York is serving a 135-year sentence. It seems like he was doing the typical cult leader thing where when you join, you have to give up your wife and kids to the cult leader. Malachi York himself claims he was an alien from Nibiru. And if you look at the history of the golden age of 90s hip-hop, many people were inspired by the conspiracy theories and ufology of Malachi York. The legend prodigy from Mobb Deep, Dougie Fresh, and Afrika Bambaataa, to name a few. Afrika Bambaataa, known as one of the godfathers of hip-hop, was also the leader of the Zulu Nation for many, many years. Until 2016, when he stepped down from allegations of sexual abuse of children. We're going to come back to all this alien talk and sexual talk here in about a second. To wrap up the humiliation ritual discussion, at the post-fight press conferences, Jake Paul was asked if he had taken his foot off the gas in the later rounds, and he said, "Definitely a bit. I wanted to give the fans a show, but I didn't want to hurt someone who didn't need to be hurt." And when you watched all the pre-fight promotionals, it appeared that Mike Tyson was in phenomenal shape. And he was sparring very violently. We saw none of that on the night of the fight. Mike Tyson appeared to be in absolute no condition to be fighting that night. So either the promotional videos were completely fake, or Mike Tyson had a bad night, or Mike Tyson, on purpose, through a humiliation ritual, was made to look weak and off balance. We did not see any form of the old Iron Mike that we all tuned in to see, which is why I think it was a humiliation ritual. Now let's talk about sexual assault things. I want to provide the trigger warning for people. This will be the next 5 to 10 minutes. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul both are supporters of Donald Trump. I'm not going to get political. So hold tight. But let's talk about some strange connections. Mike Tyson, and look, I love Mike Tyson, but I'm not here to put blinders on. Mike Tyson was convicted of rape in 1992. He raped an 18-year-old beauty pageant contestant named Desiree Washington, who was the Miss Black Rhode Island. He was found guilty and sentenced to 10 years in prison, which is where he got tattoos. He got inspired by reading books and proceeded to get tattoos of Che Guevara and Mao Zedong, which is very strange because these two are Marxist communists. Mike Tyson said he got those while he was in prison because he was mad at the government. Okay. Now, recall in the past, I've discussed how odd it is to find this pipeline of rich old elites owning modeling agencies and beauty pageants. Epstein had MC2 models. And oddly enough, Epstein's lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, represented Tyson in the rape case. Alan Dershowitz was also a lawyer for Harvey Weinstein and Donald Trump. Donald Trump also found guilty of sexual assault of E. Jean Carroll. The federal judge later claimed the verdict showed the rape allegations were also substantially true. E. Jean Carroll was awarded a $5 million settlement for sexual abuse and defamation. Jake Paul accused of sexual assault by Justine Paradise in 2021. I'll read to you from the BBC. Paradise alleges that Jake Paul grabbed her face and forced her to perform oral sex on him and touched her inappropriately without consent. Paradise said she waited 2 years to speak out because she had signed an NDA, something allegedly required of all guests who enter Jake Paul's home. If you go to a New York Times article about Jake Paul's home, the Team 10 house full of influencers doing pranks, like the Discordian trickster god would advise, it says, Raylee Lally, 21, a model and actress who began working with Mr. Paul when she was 17, said he often called her jailbait and commented on her appearance. She said that one evening in 2017, after filming a video, Mr. Paul groped her. She forcefully told him to stop, and he ran out of the room. Miss Lally quit shortly after the incident. I was with Jake for months, and I saw what kind of person he was behind the scenes and what kind of person he put out to the rest of the world. Now, why does any of this matter? What I'm saying is the character of all the people involved here is very suspect. When you've got someone whose ethics and morals are shaky at best, and you give them the opportunity to scam the public or grift, we have to be very careful. Which leads me to my Netflix conspiracy. Like I said, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are both big Trump supporters, which aligns them obviously politically with the right. They put this event on with Netflix, which many people believe is a leftist-aligned company, and their past certainly suggests so. InfluenceWatch.org said, in 2020, Netflix was the most Democratic-leaning major tech company in the United States by political donations. So I'm sure Trump, being a conservative, would have a negative opinion of Netflix. Netflix even has a show called The Trump and American Dream that's apparently critical of him. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Either way, Trump did not show up to the Tyson-Paul fight. But he did show up the next night to the UFC fights, because he's besties with Dana White and Joe Rogan. Also notice that with Donald Trump, in his entourage was Elon Musk, who was in attendance wearing a strange necklace that everyone's talking about. The necklace has the Greek letter Omega inside of a diamond with an all-seeing eye. We're going to come back to that in the conclusion, because it's very important. So Trump showing up to UFC and not Mike Tyson speaks volumes. So here's my conspiracy. Netflix had issues streaming. It was considered a massive failure. And people are now worried about Netflix's capabilities to stream the NFL games on Christmas and WWE. And because Netflix is being known for quote-unquote woke entertainment, what if Elon Musk, Donald Trump, right-wing aligned folks had the power, the reach, and the capabilities to mess with the streaming capabilities of Netflix? Because now, surely Monday, Netflix's stock price will take a dip. I'm not a financial advisor. That is not financial advice. So I see corporate and political warfare happening. Just a theory. One last theory, and then we're going to wrap this all up. A software programmer named Cliff High, shout out Dr. Anteater, by the way, he told me about this. He created a software in the 90s to predict the future, to predict stock market events. I believe it was through the Half Past Human website, and the software is called WebBot. Either way, it searches and scours the internet looking for keywords, terms, and ideas being floated in the collective unconscious using predictive linguistics to look for temporal markers. These are events that are important in the timeline. So in 2009, the WebBot program predicted a battle in the skies of UFOs against military craft and other UFOs. At this point, non-human intelligence would become a regular part of our lives. This is what all of the social media claims are being made. I will clarify exactly what Cliff High said, though. Now, this UFO battle is supposed to happen 39 days after one particular non-temporal event. The event in question is Joe Rogan interviewing Donald Trump, which obviously happened. So let's think about this. In 2009, Joe Rogan's podcast had just launched. And that was the same year that the Cliff High software said, in the future, Joe Rogan will interview Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a very famous man at this time through Hollywood and his show, The Apprentice. But it's very uncanny that it would make this prediction. So the Joe Rogan interview was released on Apple Podcast October 26th. Because it was a leap year, if you add 39 days, that takes us to December 4th. As the day we will apparently get alien warfare in the skies. Now, I wanted to fact check this, so I watched Cliff High's actual video discussing this temporal marker. He uploaded a video to his YouTube on October 16th discussing this. He said the prediction came about after the 2008 crash. Bitcoin hadn't even rolled out yet, and they didn't really know what the term podcast meant back then. And he says that temporal markers are very important in interpreting the language of the immediacy of the events. And he discusses the temporal marker his software found in 2009.
We have a temporal marker that originally showed up in the podcast thing in 2009, okay? In 2009, it started shaping up as a temporal marker that would be almost impossible to miss should it ever arise, okay? And that this temporal marker was going to be, as I couldn't get a word big enough, and Dick Allgaier reminded me in the interview, that it was going to be basically iconic. And that's what it is, okay? So the temporal marker that we're discussing here is a Rogan-Trump interview, right? Or Trump being interviewed by Rogan, or discussion, or however we want to talk about it, right? On the Joe Rogan podcast. Now, this is pertinent because I'd had this percolating since 2009, and then I had, at some point later on, I'd gone and I'd put in a request with the Future Forecasting Group, as they're called now, and talked to headquarters and got them to do a future forecasting sweep on my situation. Was this thing going to occur? Damned if they didn't nail it. You should go look up that video. If I get my shit together, I'll put a descriptor in under, or put a link in under the in the description for this video. Anyway, so Dick Allgaier comes back with drawing Trump and Joe Rogan, the whole damn thing, right? And so at that time, we had just, at the time of the video that Dick Allgaier made, and going into the interview with me, it was a temporal marker, but the interview never happened because it was all about the debate. But you'll see in the discussion I had with Dick that I didn't expect the debate to occur because my data said, it clearly showed that it was just the two of them, that this iconic mano a mano thing was going to continue on for like a long fucking time as the icon for the turn, right? For the fourth turning, for the turn of so much relative to the chaos that's in our world now. And so it's going to be a really cool temporal marker to observe, and a very important one, perhaps the most important one that I had ever had forecast within that, in the data sets, you know, even more important than Bitcoin or any of this other shit, right? At that level. Okay, so that was 2009. We go to 2019, and Dick and I have our interview about it, but it doesn't happen at that time, right? Because the debate never happened. A pre-presidential election debate, right? Maybe it was 2020. So, but right in that time period. Okay, now it's 2024, and we have this same temporal marker of Trump and Rogan, but as a duo, right? Not as part of a debate, showing up. So we're back to the temporal marker, and they've now confirmed that they're going to do this.
The Joe Rogan Donald Trump interview was the temporal marker used. He confirms through an eyewitness named Dick Allgaier as a witness to this event. And he talks about the fourth turning from the chaos of this event. the way he describes the event isn't quite UFOs battling in the sky. He says there will be the appearance of a visible contention that will devolve into a melee. It's a military term meaning after all else fails, you resort to hand-to-hand combat. I found it curious he represented it as the fourth turning from the chaos, because we know the language used about Donald Trump is that he is the chaos candidate. We also know through our exploration of the Great Reset series on this podcast, starting in late 2020, we discussed the Generations book and the discussion about the different cycles of mankind and the ages of the different turning, which is completing at the fourth turning. Let's see if I can put a link in the show notes. I think it was a supporters only show. So in conclusion, what are we saying? Cliff High says the visible contention will appear on December 4th. I think people are assuming this is a UFO battle. Unless I missed it somewhere that Cliff High said this is UFOs, that doesn't seem to be what he's indicating on his own YouTube channel. But I don't think it's too far from the truth. There's been a recent congressional hearing on November 13th where the U.S. House Oversight Committee heard reports of UFOs, UAP, now being branded as unidentified anomalous phenomenon instead of aerial, because they're saying they are in the oceans as well, which is exactly what Bill Cooper said he saw in the 80s. If you recall, back in 2017, I wrote a book called The Dark Path, which you can get everywhere, by the way. Recall that I said 2025 was the year that we will have proof of alien life, and we are currently on track for that. Speaking of it, let me take you down Grifter Alley. If you go to my store, Gumroad, as in like bubblegum, gumroad.com/IsaacW with two A's for double awesome, you can see that I've got Black Friday t-shirt deals. I'm practically giving them away. You can also pick up signed copies of all my books, including The Dark Path, where you can see how, in a way, it was very prophetic, some of the ideas I was presenting. Not because I am a prophet, but because I was paying attention to a lot of things since my journey started in 2011 of looking at these red pill events. It talks about pop culture, symbolism, and UFOs, and where the elites want to take us into the digital matrix. And it's all lining up very nicely, especially since in 2017, when I published that book and said in 2025, we will have proof of alien life, it sounded insane. But look at where we are. Jack Parsons said that flying saucers would play a part in converting the world to Crowleyanity, because that is the entire goal. And now let's go back to the beginning of where this started. The symbolism on the poster for the fight. Jake Paul's Vow of Harpocrates. And we talked about Crowley's discussion on the Thoth deck of the Aeon card, representing a time of transformation and the cycles, beginnings, and endings. And let's talk about Elon Musk at the UFC event with Trump wearing the necklace with the symbol of the Omega, because the Omega is the end, as in the Alpha and Omega, indicating that the new regime is here to usher in the end times and complete the cycle. The Orthodox Church uses this symbol inside of the church to represent the beginning and end of all things. Christ said he was the Alpha and Omega. And now we have Elon Musk, a false god, indicating he can be a component in establishing the end times. That's why it has the Freemasonic all-seeing eye inside of it. It's a false god. That is why Elon Musk's first tweet after Trump won was a picture of him and Trump saying Novus Ordo Seclorum, which is on the back of the US dollar bill, and it means the new order of the ages. And it's shown below the pyramid with the all-seeing eye, the Freemasonic symbol for the false god. And if you look at the frame around Washington on the dollar bill, you'll see it has the symbol of the Omega as well. Now, oddly enough, the Greek letter for Omega is lowercase, depicted as a W. It's very similar to the Hebrew letter of Sheen, which I discuss in my Twin Peaks Grey Lodge series in the Kenneth Grant book, Outside the Circles of Time. And Grant describes his communications with Aleister Crowley and discusses communication with other entities and manifesting the dream world through falling asleep. And he says that he saw a cave sigil named Aosic with a number 300. This is the letter of Sheen. He calls it the letter of Shaitan, with the elements of fire and spirit. And it's very similar to the Twin Peaks Owl Cave Black Lodge symbol. So in a way, the letter Omega is a form of the Hebrew letter of Shaitan, or the Black Lodge evil spirits. In Gematria, you'll see they compare Sheen to the value of 360, meaning it's a perfect circle and a completed cycle, which takes me to my final point. The fight felt like we were completing the Kali Yuga of Idiocracy. It feels like the end of the American Empire experiment. We have this content creator pushing content deceptively and getting rich from it. We have a phenomenal athlete with a particular set of skills for boxing who we all grew up idolizing being resorted to a humiliation ritual. We talked about the Kali Yuga in 2020 on our show about Steve Bannon, where we talked about the War for Eternity book with Professor Ben Teitelbaum. And we talked about how the influences from Steve Bannon were from traditionalism. Julius Evola, Georges Jurdeff, and René Guénon, all major figures of the occult. And the theory is that there were cycles of time, and Kali Yuga is the final destructive cycle before we can rebuild. He talked about breaking down government bodies into more localized governments and getting rid of the big organizations like the CDC, the World Health Organization, the United Nations, etc. The traditionalists believe we've lost our way due to technology and modernity and true spirituality. Steve Bannon told Professor Ben Teitelbaum he never wanted to join the club, but he was studying Georges Jurdeff. And the understanding was that esotericism was a celebration of rejected knowledge, and Bannon could use it as an avenue to reject today's society and standards of expertise, because traditionalism is a form of elitism, establishing an elite in their position of power. So Elon wearing the necklace of the Omega symbol with the all-seeing eye could indicate the final age of the Kali Yuga, so they can rebuild with the philosophy of traditionalism. Recall there were these books from the 1890s written by Ingersoll Lockwood called the Baron Trump novels. Baron Trump is described as a troublesome person who says he has a massive brain, insults everyone, and lives in Castle Trump. There were lots of conspiracies that Donald's son, whose name is Baron, Donald's alter ego of John Baron in the 80s, were all elements of this, including allegations that Trump and his uncle were able to use the time machine found in Nikola Tesla's offices. One of Ingersoll Lockwood's other books was called The Last President, and it was about the downfall of the American Republic. So could it be? Cliff High's prediction of a December 4th revelation event of UFOs in battle would indicate a need for the urgent solution. David Icke's problem-reaction solution. Giving up rights and privacy in exchange for freedom, directed through a global government new world order. Thank you for listening to my very ominous early morning heavy-duty conspiracy theories. If you want to support the show, please leave a 5-star review. I've read many of them, and I appreciate them. They bring a smile to my face, so thank you very much for the 5 stars. If you're a 1-star hater, please move on. I don't need any more 1-star hater bots leaving 1-star reviews. If you want to get a super soft, ultra comfortable t-shirt, go to gumroad.com/IsaacW. I've got a Black Friday sale right now. You can pick up some signed books while you're there. Get my 2017 book, The Dark Path, to light the path towards what the future will bring, because in 2025, they will be revealing the truth of alien life forms, or the manufactured truth. We don't know. Thank you for listening. Till next time, stay positive.